host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Today I'm joined by Dallin Oakes, Director of Growth at Jars. Dallin, it's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate being here, man. Thanks for thinking of us at Jars, and I look forward to our conversation today.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was really excited to have you on just because, you know, I've been hearing such great things about you from Brian. And, you know, the Arizona market has really just been exploding, especially as it turned to rec. So I think maybe to kick us off on the show today, like, you've been super involved in that market in particular since the very beginning, even, you know, before Jars. So maybe talk to us a little bit about the evolution, you know, of the market specifically in Arizona and what you've actually been able to, you know, observe.
I joined the industry in 2015. Obviously just a medical market at that time. I joined a company called Superb and took that from ground zero up to the state's largest delivery service. Mm-hmm. So the state being a medical state, obviously we're very close to California. It's kind of rubbed off on us since its inception over there. But we've always been considered a medical rec slash kind of hybrid state. Nobody wants to kind of say it out loud, but with sales being historically the highest on Fridays and not, you know, kind of spread out throughout that week, it leans towards that being more of a recreational market rather than that everyday medical market. So since inception, obviously the industry has been growing very, very fast. Arizona has had a couple roadblocks to its growth, specifically with the card costs being one of the top five in the country. It's a hard, you know, drop to spend $300 on a medical card for a substance or for something that you don't know that you would need or that you would be happy with using on a regular basis. So the initial impact on the market was fairly heavy spends for those medical patients. And it kind of moved there within this recreational market. Now that this is, you know, almost going on this full year here, it was rolled out relatively quickly, the fastest any state has ever rolled out a recreational market. And its impact was, once again, hindered by timing coming out of the COVID, you know, crisis and pandemic. I've always thought that you don't really feel the impact of something until just after the fact. So now we're kind of seeing that residual downfall from, you know, pockets not being as heavily funded. So the ticket averages dropping to just Arizona's market in general, always decreasing in sales in the summer months. So you have a weird hybrid of the fastest state to launch adult use, just under 2 months, and coming into the summer months, as well as coming out of a pandemic and kind of still seeing the residuals there, you know, here in this year. So the adult use market was thought to be a, you know, 3X market, and the anticipation there was, you know, orders, this kind of faux demand that we all expected never really came to fruition. You take that along with testing requirements going through the roof, there being a limited amount of established and certified testing facilities, with increase in pricing of the products, 16% use tax there. So, you know, as far as any extra taxes for recreational purchase, it kind of all adds up to a lackluster, you know, bang, so to speak. So the market here, we've all been trying to figure out kind of where we're at with all of those things meeting in the same, you know, kind of time frame. It's hard to gauge where the market will be. However, in our opinion, Arizona is going to be a top five market in the country, kind of following right behind California, New York, when that's fully ramped up, Florida, Chicago, and then I would kind of put Arizona right there after. But we're very excited. Obviously, the licensing structure here in Arizona is very, very advantageous to ownership groups. It's kind of a full seed to sell license structure. So in other markets where you have a processing license and then a distribution license, a manufacturer and a retail, they're all kind of separate. Arizona has built their market to be all inclusive. So with that retail license, you know, you get the processing, you get the distribution capabilities, you get an on-site and off-site, as well as a recreational cultivation license and a processing license. So that's why these licenses are so valuable. And that's why you see them going into the, you know, upwards of 15, some asking, you know, 25 to 30 million per license. You can kind of see why.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, when I kind of look at your footprint, you guys, you know, obviously have, you know, multiple locations in Arizona right now, but I think you have, what, 7 locations in Michigan and plans to open a lot more?
Yeah, right? So 28 total licenses in Michigan. Arizona, we have 4 currently, obviously looking to expand. But we have, actually, we have 10 open licenses in Michigan currently, 3 open here in Arizona. A 4th will be opening here in Arizona in the next 2 weeks in a town called Payson, Arizona. It's a very heavily tourist area, very nice weather year round. So we expect that store to do very well, as well as being the only location in that Payson area. We expect it to be one of our top 2, you know, potentially 3rd best dispensary location. But the expansions are in full force. You know, we're opening up locations in Michigan about once every month. And then obviously we're looking to grow from there, here in Arizona, especially. So, you know, the footprint's there. We are a multi-state operator. We are still privately owned, so we're not public. You know, there's the Veranos and the Green Thumbs and Harvest, True Leaves, Cure Leaves out there in the world that own 100 plus locations. But we think with our footprint that we have a pretty strong chance, and being, you know, privately owned, we can adapt a little bit quicker. And you see that in our retention rate, and you see that in our sales and foot traffic.
Perfect. And when you kind of look at Arizona compared to Michigan, because obviously two very prolific markets, any kind of insight that you see, at least on your side of the fence, between, you know, your retail establishments, like, are you seeing one market kind of overtake another? You know, obviously I'm hearing every day news out of Michigan, like it's explosive, right? So any kind of like, I don't know, anything that you can glean on as far as, you know, I'm not saying transactions, but also kind of market growth.
Yeah. So growth, Michigan is a little bit less matured of a market than Arizona, of course. Adult use, relatively new in both states. Our 3 locations tend to do around the same revenue wise as the 10 there in Michigan. And obviously in time, these things are popping up left and right. So in time, we do expect the Michigan stores to end up outweighing our Arizona location just due to the, you know, sheer number of doors. However, market in Michigan is very saturated. The licensing structure has a lot to do with that. Here in Arizona, it's more of a lottery based. There in Michigan, you know, if you want to go buy one, you can. So it's a lot more competitive in Michigan. Obviously, our state as a whole, our population is quite large for the amount of doors that are actually issued here in Arizona. So we did just have another lottery go in the past 2 months, which is where we got that 4th license from. Other than that, and the upcoming social equity licenses being given out, you know, Arizona's fixed. So at least for the time being, there's no real reports of any more being issued. So, you know, with 160 doors at the end of the day, for 7.5 million people, it is pretty substantial. So that's another reason for Arizona's pretty advantageous market. And that's why you're seeing companies like Harvest, Cureleaf, Verano, Ayentus come in here and make these acquisitions.
Sure. And so from like a JARS perspective, you know, when it comes to product, you know, selection, like how do you guys look at product? What are the type of products that you guys carry? Like how do you differentiate yourselves from everybody else?
Perfect. And I think that's one of the things that separates JARS from the rest of the pack.
Yeah.
Here in Arizona, at least, we actually just won the number one dispensary for selection and number one dispensary for deals / pricing.
People love deals.
Yeah, it was a big deal, and that was voted by the people. So that's not something that, you know, some editor went around and chose his favorite or chose their favorite. This was voted by, you know, 10 plus thousand people just for us alone. But number one for selection, number one for pricing in the state of Arizona is pretty big. And the reason being is our buying power, our willingness to pass along those savings to the consumers, and our business model. We are that of a Costco type style where we want to have a huge selection. We want, if any consumer comes in to shop at JARS, you know, that we have exactly what they want. And not only do we have that in stock, we have it at the best price that they can find in the state. So when we purchase big quantities, we get a little bit of a break on the price point. We don't soak up those margins like a lot of the other organizations do. We pass that along straight to the consumer, which in turn creates that retention rate. We partnership that with our amazing loyalty program, and that kind of creates that retention rate, the hamster wheel of, you know, everyday low pricing, having those people come in, see that the pricing's there. Hey, this is $10 cheaper at JARS than it is at my, you know, local dispensary. I'm going to just start coming here. Mm-hmm. And when you get that kind of residual feedback over and over and over, our retention rate's through the roof. Our customers are happy, and that kind of keeps us in the top, you know, three highest foot traffic dispensaries in the state, and top grossing dispensary in the state as well.
Cool. So, you know, when I was like, you know, talking to Brian and he had suggested you coming on the show, you know, he said to me, he's like, hey, when Dowling comes on, definitely, you know, ask him to talk to you about the story behind the, you know, the brand and the logo. So I'm just curious, like what the story is behind that. It's got to be something juicy there.
Yeah, I mean, so JARS is relatively fresh, a couple years lifespan currently. The JARS specifically for how well it fits this industry actually is an acronym for the ownership group. So four very, very close owners here that started in Michigan and worked their way into Arizona. But the JARS is just the four, you know, initials of the owners. So I thought it was pretty, not only convenient, but creative and, you know, a coincidence that, hey, it happened to be a word that is relatively used in the industry already. And I think JARS is that simple, you know, clean four letter word that every company is looking for to scale to that executive level.
No, that's awesome. I mean, when I first like heard about you guys, I kind of assumed that the name was really like a curing jar, you know, for cannabis. That's kind of what I always thought. So that's awesome that they, you know, really thought about, you know, using their initials in a smart way, right? So it's kind of a double aspect of the brand there. So, you know, Dallin, as you're obviously, you know, involved in so many aspects of the business, right? So, you know, marketing, compliance, you know, all of that stuff. You know, what do you think, at least from a technology perspective right now, is really, you know, changing the landscape of cannabis? And so when I mean that, I mean like, you know, delivery, compliance, media, tech, like what is one of the things right now that's really helping you guys, you know, stay not just abreast, but also, you know, perhaps what does the future look like with more technology, you know, kind of entering the space?
Man, is that a loaded question?
Sorry, it's a lot. You know, it's a big one.
Yeah. And I mean, it really does pertain to this industry more so than, you know, any that I've been a part of, if not, you know, any in the history, because they're not only Arizona, the industry as a whole, it is so new and it does have so much room for growth that I kind of treat, you know, the industry, we're just babies still. We're just, you know, we're adapting to become something bigger. But I think a lot of people, especially here in Arizona, coming from a lottery, they're, you know, mom and pops trying to figure this thing out, you know, as they go. You have a lot of corporations that have been in operation for a long time that are coming into the space with a little bit of it figured out. But things are so rapidly changing that you have to be able to adapt fairly quickly. You know, I always live by an adapt or die type mentality, and always sharpening your blade. And technology, as we move forward as a, you know, human race, is only going to get more, you know, in tune to our daily lives. So I think technology is a huge, huge deal in the industry. I, you know, oversee probably 10 plus different platforms, anywhere from a loyalty-based system, CRM, to a analytical backend for reporting and market reads, all the way to, you know, marketplaces such as Leafly and Weedmaps. And then you get into delivery, such as iHeart, Jane, and Superb. I mean, the list will go on and on for forever, but technology is very important to the cannabis space, and it helps you refine your processes down, be more efficient, and obviously offer more services to the consumer, so that they, you know, get the service that they deserve. So one of the bigger things moving forward is going to be delivery. Here in Arizona, you can't deliver to a rec customer yet until 2023 would be the earliest date, if that does in fact go into effect. Up until, you know, the 2023, it's just medical only. So with that being said, the medical market is stable. But once 2023 hits, I mean, the floodgates are open. So it's who can establish themselves as the delivery, you know, premier option before that date, so that when moving in, you already have the infrastructure and the following in place to really succeed. So that being said, the, you know, the delivery market right now is, let's call it a 200,000, you know, consumers, 200,000 patients. Whereas as soon as that, you know, lights, you know, switched on, we're talking millions of consumers, you know, able to purchase it that given time. So delivery is a huge, huge segment of the business down the road. Whereas now it's kind of like just an extra service that you can add on for your consumers, for your customers and patients. So, you know, and that's kind of where my background started, was with Superb, and starting as the delivery force and moving into more of a marketplace and working with multiple dispensaries around the state, and building that platform to aggregate users to one place to then be able to offer them multiple options. And so technology moving forward, anywhere from CRM to connecting to your consumers, it's getting harder and harder. Obviously, Philo's done a great job at adapting, becoming, you know, one of the industry leading, at least in Arizona, CRMs and platforms out there. But just with regulations coming down the line, you know, from texting consumers to connecting with them on social media to, you know, conquesting campaigns with retargeting and geofencing, it's very hard in the industry because of the federal regulations in place, and, you know, a lot of companies not wanting to touch the industry until it is federally legal. So there's a lot of, you know, creative ways that you would have to contact and be in tune with your customer base. Technology is the only way to make that possible. So in my opinion, you know, besides your SOPs to create consistency, technology could definitely be the most important part of the business.
Yeah, certainly is. And, you know, with regulations and compliance, certainly don't make it easy for everyone to operate in cannabis. And, you know, listen, that's why we're here, right? So yeah, really great, you know, insight there, Dallin. And, you know, I think, you know, you guys are doing amazing work, and, you know, it's exciting to see you guys grow and expand, and, you know, definitely we'll keep an eye on that. And, you know, if you've listened to the show before, you know, we always do this. We talk about business in the beginning, and then we just kind of, you know, end the show with some quick fire questions. And I felt like today we'll do this or that instead of questions. Are you ready?
I love it.
So cardio or weights?
you know, I was always a sprinter, man. I can't run a mile to save my life. So I got to go weights with that one.
Man, me too. I'm with you. Sweater or hoodie?
If we're talking an Argyle sweater at an ugly Christmas party, you know, I got the sweetest ugly sweater you've ever seen. But a day-to-day, man, I got to go with the hoodie. Just a little bit more comfort there. Easy, simple, you know, solid colors.
Winter or summer?
Wow. You know, I went to school in Colorado for no other reason than to snowboard 5 days out of the week. My schedule was full Tuesday and Thursday with school. The other 5 days I was on the mountains, so I got to go with winter on that. Here in summer of Arizona, you're looking into 125 degrees. That's just no fun.
No, I know. That's why I was like, if you say summer, I'm going to be like, oh, man, you're a glutton for punishment. trains or planes?
Wow. You know, West Coast, not in Europe. You don't really interact with trains very much. I will say the ones I've been on, you know, across parts of Europe were amazing. But for the most part, I've been a plane guy. Just a little bit easier, a little bit more accessible. There's not too many trains here in Arizona. So, yeah, I got to go with the plane.
All right, final this or that. Ready? Tom Ford or Ralph Lauren?
Wow. Also a tough one. Probably Tom Ford, though I don't favor either or necessarily.
All right. Why don't you come up with how about your the third one will be what you most love. What would you wear? What's your favorite designer?
Favorite designer. That is a great question, man. I have always been kind of just a easy kill, simple type style. So I honestly wear, you know, Adidas first and foremost, a three stripe gang till I die. I always used to wear Nike everything.
Yeah.
The first time I put on the Ultra Boost, I was blown away and I've never bought a Nike or any other shoe since. But as far as clothing goes, you know, if you would ask me 10 years ago, would I spend $80 on a shirt? I would have told you you're crazy. I'm a thrifter.
Yeah.
But when you buy, you know, quality, you waste less. And when you waste less, you're saving the planet. And ultimately, I'm kind of tailored my fitting to a Lululemon style.
Yeah. I'm comfort. I'm wearing that right now.
I mean, it's just the best. I used to hate on it so hard. And yeah, in the past couple of years, man, it's just comfort. It's simple. Exactly. It's I'm easy. And it lasts forever.
Yeah. I have two modes, right? Like in the summer, I'm wearing a Lululemon polo. And in the winter, I'm wearing this Faraday has a really great like button down, most amazing soft quality fabric that's not stretchy, but a little stretchy. But my team always makes fun of me. They're like, okay, Jeff's wearing the same shirt every day in a different color. And it's just comfortable, right? If we're going to be working from home, we've got to be comfortable.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, I would go crazy if I had to work from home every day, man. I took about 2 years, but COVID finally caught up to me. And I, about a month and a half ago, was, you know, quarantined at the house for 2 weeks. I thought I was going to go crazy.
Oh, God.
I have my office, everything was set up, but I was like, dude, if I don't get out, I mean, I was door dashing stuff like 10 times a day.
Right. Yeah, it's a tough one. But listen, Dallin, I appreciate you coming on the show and, you know, great stuff coming out of you guys. And yeah, I was excited to have you on. So thanks for all the insight into, you know, what's going on over there and obviously insight into Arizona and Michigan. And yeah, appreciate you.
Absolutely, Jeff. I appreciate you having me on. And if you ever need any more insight into the industry or the, you know, where we're at as far as the markets go, give me a holler, man. I'm always here to help and answer any questions you have. And I would love to come on again.
Awesome. You rock, man.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.